Welcome to episode 12 of the 2017 Front Stretch Podcast. This week, I am joined by my co-host, Tom Bowles, along with first-time guest of the season, Beth Lunkenheimer, who is here to help break down everything from All-Star Weekend on the NASCAR circuit, as well as schedule updates, Red Horse Racing topic, all kinds of good stuff this week. So before we dive in, I want to talk to you guys about DraftKings. Even though the NASCAR regular season is closing in on the halfway point as we come to the Coke 600 this week, you still have plenty of time to jump in on the action with DraftKings. On DraftKings, the objective is simple. Pick six drivers, watch how they perform on Sundays, and if you pick correctly, you could be eligible for massive cash prizes. All you have to do to jump in on the action is to sign up through the DraftKings link on either the Front Stretch homepage or the Front Stretch podcast article page, make a $5 deposit, and you'll be eligible for a free entry into one of this weekend's contests in Charlotte. Once again, DraftKings.com, where you choose, you play, and you win. All right, guys, how's everyone doing on this fine Tuesday night as we record? This will be obviously posted on Wednesday night, but how you guys doing?
Doing great. Welcome, Beth. Finally got you on the podcast.
It took me a bit to come around, but I'm here. Doing good tonight. How are y'all?
Oh, we're doing great, Beth. We're glad to finally convince you to join our shenanigans on this weekly podcast. So great to have you. But folks, I want to kind of jump in here. You know, some late breaking news this afternoon that I want to kind of dive into before we get into any discussion of the All Star race and all that good stuff. We got the 2018 schedule up and running. Up on the NASCAR website now, all of the changes that we kind of discussed on the podcast the last couple of weeks ended up coming to fruition. Just to recap, you've got Indianapolis is going to be moving to the regular season finale spot. The Charlotte Motor Speedway Road Course is going to be used in the chase. Vegas is moving into the chase with a second date to kick off the chase. Richmond will also be moving into the chase with a night race. The Richmond Spring Race will now become a night race again. And now, I'm not forgetting any, am I?
No, I think that's a good synopsis. And honestly, that equals the changes that NASCAR has made in what? The last, like, 5, 6, 7 years in results to the schedule. So I feel like we're on the right track.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of these changes. I'm interested to see kind of how you guys feel about this, that now it's all out there. The fan reactions seem to have been very positive today. So I have to think this is going to get chalked up as a win. For NASCAR, I would have liked to have seen which races Fox and NBC or which races are going to end up on Fox and NBC versus cable networks. I think that's an important factor in all of this. But I love, you know how I feel about Indy, and I think that's the perfect spot for that race, especially if they can get the racing to the point where I think it could be at that racetrack. So I'm excited. I think there's a lot to like, but Beth, I want you to chime in here. What do you think of some of these changes?
I think my biggest fear, though, is with Indy, just because the racing struggled so much in recent years. But if they can give us the kind of product we've been seeing so far this year, it's a great way to end the season. And I love the fact that we have Richmond, another short track, into the playoffs, which certainly helps a lot. And then the Charlotte Road Course, I was just examining exactly what was going to run, and it's going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see the Charlotte Road Course. I think that's going to really throw a curveball to everybody in a way that fans and drivers and teams have all been saying, well, wouldn't it be great to have another new track on the schedule? And by putting the road course in play in Charlotte, it's like you do have another new track on the schedule. So I think that with Indy, there is a, you know, fix the illness, not the symptom type of situation that NASCAR has to deal with all types of tracks. They're 1.5 to 2.5 miles in length, except for maybe the super speedways. I think that you need to work on fixing the aero push problem, and then the racing will pick up at Indianapolis no matter when you run it. But having it at the end of the season adds a little extra incentive. It definitely increases the level of importance for this race. And, you know, one thing that I know Matt is so keen on picking up on, you know, the ratings and stuff like that. You know, Indianapolis, for all the talk of boring that people have said the last couple of years, what was one of the few races to increase in ratings year to year from 2015 to 2016? It was Indianapolis. And Matt, I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to say we're primed for another increase in Indy again. And I think that in terms of people experiencing rather than following sports week to week. You know, if we're going with that theory, I think moving it to the end of the regular season is big.
Well, I think the Indy at the regular season spot works because, you know, when NASCAR first implemented, you know, a chase slash playoff format, the expectation was that the last regular season race was going to be a big affair. And depending on the season in the early chase days, it was. But now with 16 drivers making it in, you know, usually you have fairly, I wouldn't say irrelevant drivers, but the drivers that are fighting for that last chase spot aren't, you know, usually fan favorites or anything of that nature. So the drama has not really been there in that race at Richmond towards the end of the season because, you know, once you strip away the fact that it's the regular season finale, it's just another race. And I think that by moving Indy to that spot, Indy doesn't really need anything else. You know what I mean? Indy is Indy. It's a crown jewel of the sport. It's the second most important race on this schedule. So I think that's a good spot for that race to close it out because, okay, now it doesn't really matter if the battle for that last playoff spot is not great because it's still the Brickyard. That race is big in its own right. Drivers want to win that because it's the Brickyard. Drivers don't look at the Fall Richmond race and say, wow, that's really a race that I need to win. That really is going to make my career. That's just not the case. So, you know, I think it just adds to a race that already has a lot of prestige associated with it. And if they can get the racing product to where I truly believe it could be one of the best and most exciting races on the schedule, it should be. If they can get it to that point, that's going to be a huge win. The only track thing that I have any reservations on is with the Charlotte Road Course, and it's only because, you know, I've driven the track in iRacing, and I know that they've, I at the risk of sounding like a nerd here, of course, but... I just did, and I'm just going to accept that. But, you know, I've raced on the track virtually, which gives you pretty much a one-to-one view of what the track race is like, and I know that they're making some changes to the infield road course because that road course has really never been used for a major auto race, nothing like IMSA or IndyCar, nothing. So this will be the first time that a major auto racing series has ever driven on that course. And the course under the format that I've seen it is not a particularly inspiring road course. I think you just have to kind of virtually see it from a cockpit view. There's not a lot of passing opportunities. It's your classic infield course, which doesn't really have a lot going on with it. Now, granted, that might translate well to NASCAR. I don't think it would translate well at all to an open wheel series for sure. There's no doubt about that. With NASCAR,
but I don't think they're not trying to sell it for an open wheel series, my friend.
Well, that's true.
Sorry to interrupt, and that's the thing. Like they're trying to sell it for NASCAR. And I think if you look at the grand scheme of things, they keep talking about fan feedback, and people say that NASCAR doesn't listen to the fans. But Beth, you and I talk about all the time, people that complain and people that are always focused on the negative. It's hard to take a lot of negatives away from this because if you look at the chase now, right, you've got one road course, two short tracks, four intermediates, two tracks that are a mile in length and a super speedway. I don't know what collection of tracks could be more representative of what the series currently races on. You could maybe get rid of another intermediate and replace it with a short track, but I don't think that would be fair because I think if you proportion it out, the 10 racetracks now that make up the chase next year are really the percentage of tracks that we race on during the regular season, the different types of tracks.
Well, all I was going to say was simply that, I think fans should not overblow the expectations for that road course. I think it's either going to be incredible. I think stock car racing is either going to play out incredibly well on that track or it's not going to work out very well. So I'm just saying I think people should kind of approach that weekend with some bated breath. I think it's going to be really interesting to watch. I think a lot of people are going to be really curious to see how that unfolds. But that's going to be an interesting one. So any final thoughts on the schedule before we move on here?
Actually, yeah, I was looking at the truck series schedule, and you look at it right off the bat and notice that some of those longer breaks have actually been reduced. This time, here we are at the end of May this year, and we've got just five races after running Charlotte last week. Well, this time next year, it's 7 races because you have the addition of Vegas early. And then you have Dover that got moved to before Kansas and Charlotte. So I think that's going to help with the overall momentum of the series, which is a good thing. Sadly, it's still only 23 races. I'd love to see it back to the 25 it used to be. But for now, it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Beth, you know, you're...
Go ahead.
You are the truck racing expert on our site, so to speak. Our beat writer, however you want to phrase it. Looking at the truck schedule, what do you think that series needs to be added? Obviously, you know, and this is we don't get to touch on the truck series a lot. We're going to touch on the truck series a little bit this week. But what do you think that series needs from a track perspective? What tracks do they need to be going to? What are a realistic, if you were to go to 2 more racetracks to round it back to 25, where would you bring that series?
Richmond and Darlington.
Interesting. That was a quick answer.
It's because it's something I've thought about for a few years. I mean, Richmond usually puts on a great race in a cup car, and the trucks, I mean, compare the truck race to the All-Star race. What was a better race than last weekend? Hands down, it was the truck race.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had a 3-wide battle for the lead right off the bat. And so right away, you're looking at that, and there was passing all throughout the field. So if Richmond can put on a good cup race, then we can darn well put on a good truck race there, too. And Darlington, because Darlington.
You know, I think with the truck series, and I think that really needs to be an experimental series. I think I would really love to see the truck series go to someplace like Nashville Fairgrounds. I'd love to see them go to a few more road courses. If you had to pick any tracks outside of the NASCAR spectrum that you would go to, where would they be, whether it's a short track, a road course, hell, anywhere overseas, where would you want to bring that series?
Well, I think I would leave out anywhere overseas just because the costs are already so high and so many teams are struggling in the series. But I would love to see more short tracks. The Fairgrounds is a great idea. It's one of those things where, kind of going back to the roots of the series was built on short tracks and road courses. And now you're running on a lot more of these intermediate tracks and you see a little less competition, although Kansas and Charlotte were actually a pleasant surprise this season. So I think we're headed the right direction with those as well.
So I want to keep going on the truck series topic because there was a big piece of news this week. One of the stalwart teams in the truck series, Red Horse Racing, announced that they're going to be shuttering their doors this week. Beth and Tom, certainly you could jump in here too. What was your immediate reaction to this news? Do you have any insight on why you think it happened? Obviously, the team had struggled with sponsorship for many years, but you know, the question that I had was, you know, why now? I mean, the team is run Timothy Peters unsponsored for what seems like, you know, half a decade. So I was curious to get your take on that and what you how you feel about the state of the truck series right now.
Yeah, well, I'll go and let Beth handle all the serious stuff. And first of all, how far the mighty Jeff Hammond has fallen, right? You know, once one of the more integral people on the Fox broadcast, now pushed to the side completely. You know, remember, Jeff Hammond was a small part of this Red Horse Racing operation for a while. And, you know, you look at one of the stalwart teams in the truck series. I mean, Beth, this was a team we talk about from time to time. All right, you have an Xfinity series or a truck series team that at the end of a season, you know, is running for a championship and contending up there. I remember Elton Sawyer years ago running for a team that was running top five in the standings and then couldn't find a sponsor for the next year and shut down. That's one thing. But when you're sixth in the standings and you have somebody like Peters that's a championship contender year in, year out, and all of a sudden you just shut down like that in the middle of the year, right after Charlotte, right when the truck series schedule is going to get going with little or any notice, it makes me wonder if something deeper is at play. And this is a guy in Tom DeLoach that was a Penske trained guy. You know, it's not like he's some random dude that just came off the street with money and said, I want to start a NASCAR team. You know, he's known what the financial circumstances are. You know, he's known what it takes to run at many times unsponsored over the course of a season. And so I wonder if there's more information here on this deal that has yet to come out that we're going to find out that they had been in trouble for a little bit longer than they've let on.
Well, I think what you have to consider is it's obviously not a lack of passion from Tom DeLoach or any of the people at Red Horse, but you have to consider the fact that you look back at the last 3 seasons, basically since the beginning of 2014, Timothy Peters has had exactly 7 primary sponsors listed in all of that time period. There comes a point where you just cannot continue to pull money out of a pocket that's empty and emptier and emptier and emptier every week. And I don't even know what the purse money is now, but when NASCAR was still letting those numbers out, it was dismal at the best. I mean, you've got single car teams who are going to fan sponsorships just to get their trucks fixed, just to get themselves back on the track. And I think part of the issue was going with that second truck for Brett Moffitt, because you're talking about now double the costs with a second truck in there. Maybe Peters could have run the rest of the season without Brett Moffitt in the second truck. Who knows?
Yeah, it's a really unfortunate scenario, and I think it just underscores the fact that the cost structure in this sport really is just completely out of whack. And what's sad about big league auto racing and NASCAR is that even despite how completely out of whack the sponsorships run for in the sport, you know, a big league truck sponsorship is going to run you about $3 to $5 million for a season. A big league Xfinity sponsorship is going to be about $7 or $8 million, whereas a Cup sponsorship is going to be $15 to $20 million. Those numbers are really outrageous, really. They shouldn't be that high. And the numbers are as high as they are simply because that's what it costs to run one of these operations. And what's sad is that, you know, even in spite of that fact, we still get sponsors that are willing to pay that money. The interest is there. You know, you talk to anybody that's on that side of the sport, they'll tell you the interest is there. It's that the cost is too high. If NASCAR were to somehow able to bring cost reductions there where they can get the cost of doing business in the truck series down 30% to 40%, you'd have the series be flush with sponsorship. Everything would change. You have less paid drivers, the whole nine yards. But it becomes a slippery slope in a sport where it's performance oriented and there's no salary cap and there's no way to cap spending. I don't really know how you fix this unless you bring in a salary cap. I mean, what do you guys think? What would you do to fix that problem?
I think it's one of the questions that has been around the sport now for 15, 20 years, gone unanswered, and now it's really, really starting to come back to bite people, because you have this continuing stretch on the Cup level between rich and poor. And what happens is the Cup sponsorships cost more and more money. So some companies are eaten up at the top levels of Cup that might otherwise go and sponsor lower level Cup teams. Then those lower level Cup teams need to raid sponsors that maybe are the Xfinity and the Truck Series. And it just has a trickle down effect. The more that Rick Hendrick spends for his Cup operation, it just doesn't affect the people trying to compete against Rick Hendrick in the Cup Series. It trickles all the way down the NASCAR economic ladder. And when you look at trucks, Beth, you know, and I'd be interested in your take on this. When the Truck Series used to be just a short track series with a handful of road courses and, oh, maybe every once in a while we're going to pop up and run a Michigan. That was one thing. But now you're sending them all over the country. And you're sending them all over the country for, you know, a schedule that can be grueling at times. Like, the truck schedule is unbalanced. You know, you have all those weeks off at the beginning of the season, and then at the end of the season, you have all those races in a row where if you have a smaller team or you try and run a smaller operation and then you wreck a truck or two trucks in a row, you're going to really struggle to go through those five or six truck races at the end of the season. So I absolutely think that they need to bring costs down, and I think they could be effective in doing that if they took some of the wind tunnel and engineering power away. And I think how you do that is what we were talking earlier about the Truck Series, more short tracks, and keeping them a little bit closer to the home base of Charlotte, not making them travel as much, cuts down on travel costs and cuts down on team costs and allows people to have a more limited home base. And yeah, maybe that means the trucks don't get to go all the way to the West everyone as much as they do now, but maybe it makes it more of an event. The one time they show up on the West Coast, it's, say, Fontana or Phoenix or somewhere, and most of the other races are home, very, very close to home in Charlotte.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Beth, what do you think?
You know, and the hard part with trying to move things back toward Charlotte is you don't get that exposure. You don't reach that fan base. Yeah, okay, so the stands aren't nearly as full for a truck race as they are a Cup race, and that's fine. You're looking at a shorter race, you're looking at lesser known names, but for people who follow the Truck Series on a regular basis, they know the kind of talent that's in there, and by taking that away from, say, half the U.S. and moving out of those markets, I think you, in the long run, hurt them in exposure, even if the cost is there to make those road trips.
Any final thoughts on this topic before we move on?
Well, I think Beth makes a good point, but I think that in the long run, NASCAR just needs to come up with a way, and franchising in general doesn't necessarily do it, as we saw with the franchise system this year. You know, your franchise is only worth as much as people interested in buying the coin, right? And when you have lower tier teams that are not performing well to begin with, and you know that they're not worth the same as the multi-car giants, and you know that there's no real competition for a spot in that 40-car field. There's 41 cars entered for the Coke 600, right? So 41 cars for 40 spots. That means only one guy is going to go home, and that's one of the few times this year we've had a crowd bigger than 40 cars trying to enter a cup race. So you don't have the demand for ownership and the demand to make these fields as they used to have. So even these franchises in general, you know, Red Horse Racing shuts down, they're going to auction off their pieces and parts for pennies on the dollar. And you're not really getting any value out of it. They have to find a way to increase the value and at the same time cut costs in a way that's beneficial for all the owners and gives them more money to play with. And that's a very, very hard equation to navigate, and one that doesn't have an easy answer, to be honest.
Luckily, that is not what they pay us the big bucks to find out. So, moving on. I want to talk
such
about
a downer podcast for Matt.
I know
you are Mr. NASCAR optimist, and there are so many downer stories. It's like impossible for you to be smiley this week. It's like,
well,
everything's on fire around me, but you know, we're going to try and put the smile on, and you know, to say the sun's outside and we're near summer, you know.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think the track schedule for next season is looking great. You know, I'm excited about the VHT that they're going to put on the track this weekend. Also, NASCAR is not going to have any NBA competition on Sunday night, so it's going to give them pretty much an open night with no competition, which is going to be nice. So there's still always a lot to look forward to. Never knock my optimism. So my optimism is always somewhere around the corner. But speaking of Charlotte, I want to talk about All-Star Weekend. I don't even know if we need to discuss the race itself very much because there wasn't much to discuss in terms of drama. Kyle Busch obviously won the race on an exciting move to end the race on the restart, going three wide down into one and won the race. But not a lot of passing. It was very clear that whether it was the weather, whether it was the package, something didn't add up because there was not much passing in that race. And the option tires really didn't work out the way I think a lot of people thought they did, even though they attracted critical acclaim after the race from the drivers and teams. What were some initial takeaways of the All-Star Weekend, and what do you expect going into the Coke 600 now that we've kind of gotten a little preview of what the racing is going to possibly look like heading into Sunday?
Beth, I'll defer to you on this one. I'll let you go first.
All I can say is I hope that what we get out of the 600 is even 10 times better than what we got out of the All-Star race, because there was hardly any passing. Yeah, you had the thrilling move where Kyle Busch, you know, ultimately won the race, but there was nothing. And I think maybe part of that, you know, it was much shorter stints, so you've got less time. But what I think is really exciting is the four stages. You know, yeah, I don't